SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, a little into it, obviously, and 45 minutes to get you into Travers Weekend. Ed DeRosa is into Travers Weekend, and he threatened, I could tell, he was threatening that he was going to be reaching for double digits throughout this terrific card Saturday. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, fantastic card today and tomorrow, really. Looking forward to diving in, and Travers came up great, so really everything you could ask for, top to bottom, for 13 races, for sure.
Well, we are looking forward, obviously, the feature, so let's start there, your Travers opinions.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. I mean, I'm definitely sort of the grizzled gambler type. I look forward to these races from a wagering perspective, and this one's no different, but you know, it's impossible to ignore the abundance of interesting storylines surrounding the race, too, with the champ coming back, you know, no Justify, but that doesn't cast nearly as dark a shadow as maybe it appeared it might a couple months ago. The filly in here is interesting. Aiden O'Brien taking a swing with Mendelsohn. Gronkowski, of course, a wild card. You know, some familiar names from the Triple Crown Trail. It really does have it all for a race at this time of year. So looking forward to seeing how it plays out. Looking forward to Scully's coverage on site. And from a wagering perspective, I landed on basically using Tenfold, Wonder Godot, and Mendelsohn are the three I'm using most liberally in the multi-race wagers. And I do like Good Magic from the stance that I wouldn't let him beat me with a horse like, you know, Fantastic's my pick in the Sword Dancer. He might be an okay price. So that might be a situation where with the right prices, I don't want to, you know, be ripping up tickets to Good Magic if the pick four happens to be paying $1,000 or $2,000. But I do think some favorites look formidable earlier on, like Finley's Lucky Charm and Marley's Freedom and the Ballerina. So if it sort of chalks through, I definitely want to be in the best position to cash with a horse like Mendelsohn, who has just been fast. He has the fastest race of anyone in the race. Now, whether he runs back to it even money, maybe not a great bet, but 8-10 to 1, I'll play it. Wonder Godot, her Queen's Play or Kentucky Oaks, I think is definitely good enough to run with these horses at 5 or 6 to 1. And then Tenfold, I just sort of put in, he's the one I think could still improve. We talk a lot about that in the classic sense, but he didn't race it too. Came on in the Preakness, ran really well at a big price. He's sort of the one I think has the most upside, and we're still getting an okay price on a horse that Steve Asmussen might really strut his stuff with later in his career, a la Gunrunner. This could be a good chance to maybe a last chance at a price with him. So those are the three I'm using most, and Good Magic, a defensive use with other prices.
Well, Tenfold is my, you know, is probably when I finish up writing things up is my top pick, and Good Magic and Bravazo and King Zachary. But as I said, I think yesterday I did a thing with Ron Flatter, and I can't let Wonder Godot leave without a saver bet. I've had too much affection. Mendelsohn's one to me is one of these horses, Ed, that if he beats me, he beats me. I can't believe that. Yeah, this feels like almost an afterthought. I mean, for them to suddenly, you know, not have any real direction to it, to the race after the Dwyer, then all of a sudden, no, we're coming to the Travers.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a fair point. I'm also a little line if I didn't say I was, you know, concerned that whatever this bug is in Aiden O'Brien's yard that, you know, was talked about even in the spring, there's still chatter about it now, and he certainly hasn't had the year we've seen from him in the past. You know, it's somewhat circumstantial. I don't know if he's had the horse every time either. So, but it's a concern. I just see the price and think, finally, you know, this horse who ran so well in the UAE Derby, we can at least maybe take a shot at a price. And Wonder Gadot, I'm not usually a big visual guy, but I try to trust my instincts when I think it's, you know, on one end or the other, if it's an extreme that really caught my attention. And I thought, you know, the Queen's Plate was just breathtaking. And, yeah, the horses behind her aren't at the caliber that she's facing in the Travers. There's just no doubt in my mind she's in the right form to take on this challenge. And I think 5-1 is the right price to find out if she's good enough.
All right. Let's back it up. Go through Sword Dancer.
I went with Fantastic, as I somewhat tip with Good Magic. You know, I guess you can always be nervous what Chad Brown Double would pay, maybe a little underlaid versus what it should. But it seems like this one's woke up going long, mile and a half before the mile and three-eighths United Nations. Looked good winning both. And this is just a group that seems to keep beating up on each other, trading wins. So maybe a fresh face on the grade one, New York grade one scene on the front end can get the job done with Jose. But I thought Fantastic was worth 9-2.
Anybody else has to be on tickets?
Yeah, I mean, after that, it's one of those where I probably would like a bunch with the three I'm using most and the Travers. At the same time, it's a race where I think a lot of people want to use a bunch. So if you kind of narrow and give yourself some looks elsewhere, that can be beneficial. But, you know, High Happy is 6-1, I think isn't terrible. And Spring Quality, I'm definitely, you know, I think Motion's been pretty straightforward about, you know, what happened with the Million and didn't want to run him and just, you know, horse was doing well enough to take a shot here. And I thought he fit in the Million, so hard to say he wouldn't fit here either. So I would say those are the other two behind Fantastic.
The Forego.
This is where it sort of gets somewhat chalky, which is why I'm reticent to be too high on Good Magic, even though I definitely have to recognize the talents there. But City of Light, this was a horse when he won at Oaklawn and beat Accelerate. I just thought we were in for, you know, maybe this is the older horse we've been waiting for to pick up the mantle from Gunrunner and then on the sidelines West Coast and Collected. And he's just not as good as Accelerate going long, we found out. So don't mind the cutback. Don't mind that they're avoiding potentially Catalina Cruiser and the O'Brien. I do think he's the best horse of these, and I think he looks pretty strong in this spot. Backing up to the Ballerina. I did mention, you know, I think Finley's Lucky Charm and Marley's Freedom probably fit best. So this is sort of a, you know, sort of an exotic key. Certainly I'll be using as well, but still there intrigues me most is maybe if you're looking to go beyond the chalks in this race. I think she has a chance to be sort of a first run type. If neither Finley's Lucky Charm nor Lewis Bay fire in front of her, you know, maybe she just goes on with it and they don't catch her. But at the very least, I think her punch late could be not enough to crash the exotics over one of the more likely horses like Finley's Lucky Charm, Lewis Bay, or Miley's Freedom. So still there, not a big win push, but definitely, you know, one of those I'm definitely going to be looking to key with the favorites. Don't want them all in the number, so still there's the one I'll try to sneak through.
You're the second person to bring up still there. All right, Personal Ensign and the Jerkins.
Yeah, Personal Ensign what a showdown, really. Abel Tasman and Elate, I do see as the most likely winners. Farrell and Wildcat, I think, are wild cards. It'll be interesting to see where the board settles. With the shortest field, you're not going to get any sort of big price on beating the two obvious ones, which is a reason I'm probably going to just lean on Abel Tasman rather than use a bunch. I see no value in using both, certainly, especially with no big opinions. Well, it's not true. In the Jurgens, I like a price, but I do think Abel Tasman, I'm just going to trust the numbers, and Bob pointed for this race after deciding to skip the mile on the 16th, Clement Hirsch at Del Mar, and I see a late maybe better at a mile and a quarter, but here the numbers for me say Abel Tasman, but really looking forward to the race, and not one I'll be heavily involved in, other than if I get my Jurgens horse home, which, I sort of tipped on Twitter, and it sounds like maybe 20-1 isn't going to happen based on Justin Dew and Chris Laramie both liking the horse. But Telekinesis, just a classic example looking at the numbers. I don't think Tapita, by any means, his preferred surface. Some numbers, he'll need to improve even off his early three-year-old year. But I think the Lexington showed some grit with my boy Jack in there, cutting back to 7 furlongs, getting dirt, reunited with Castellano. I think there's a lot to like at a big, big price. And the favorites, they've run well already this year. And this is can be a demanding race. And if they bounce, I think Telekinesis has a lot of angles to say he's primed for a big effort. So he's definitely my play in the Jurgens, and really the best bet of the day at that price.
Well, I mean, he's got a supplant for maybe 5 horses, and that's why you're getting that price. John Nichols just was with us, and John does like the way he was working, so you get that benefit and those the work at Churchill, and then I suppose we should get. Maybe get Davy Carroll on here and see what Davy's got to say, who's been taking care of him.
and it's sort of the same vibe is still there. Is you don't need all the chalk in there. I mean, if its promise was fulfilled, Telekinesis, you still have a shot to do okay. It's just a matter of Tim splitting some horses, but I'll definitely be using on the win end at that price and taking a look at the doubles as well, leading into the personal ensign.
Very good. Anything else?
I want to give a shout out to one of your frequent listeners, Michael Pod. He's very excited to be visiting his 100th track this evening when he takes in the live racing at Penn National. And he's a big supporter of the sport, loves going to any track he can get to when he's traveling. And tonight's number 100, and I know he's excited about it, and I'm excited for him.
That's great. Michael and his wife travel the world. They love it live, right? That's the moniker. Ed DeRosa, appreciate it. You and James Scully, and of course everybody on the TwinSpire blog roll. Lots of great information. Dick Powell as well, and all the pedigree work, and plenty of international stuff going on. The Ybor Festival this morning, actually, continuing. Big day there. So lots to build up toward the Breeders' Cup. And
no question.
One more mention of the Breeders' Cup future wager that opens today, closes on Sunday. Any push
great.
There?
Noon. It's so hard because there's definitely some implications with the races this weekend, but no push, but I'm keen to see. I have a feeling with an interesting thing with the future wagers with the 24 options this time going into a race with only 14, I think you have a chance to maybe see a bigger price than you would expect to see in November. Whereas with the Derby, especially when you get into the third and fourth pools, 23 horses in a 20-horse race, it's a pretty efficient market. I think these wagers are going to be worth a look if you have an eye on a horse, because with only 14 being able to go, I think that might skew some numbers.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Ed DeRosa, everybody. EJXD2 on Twitter. Take a break. Maybe our last of the morning, because Rick Hammerly and Mike Welch to close out the Travers Weekend Preview. Pick up the ball with Hammer and finish up with Mike. Stay with us.
The latest thoroughbred racing news. The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
California soul. California soul. California soul. California soul.
We're back at the races about 25 minutes to noon. New York Showcase Day kicks off at 1 o'clock, and then the focus turns tomorrow, 11:35, to Travers Day. And meanwhile, plenty of good racing at Del Mar. Rick Hammerly, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Well, it sounds like the weather's going to be, after all the long meet of questionable weather, sounds like it's going to be good for the weekend, which is great,
it is.
Right?
It is. It is. Going to be good the rest of the way, ideally.
Yeah, fantastic. That's... good, especially when you have a big day like Travers Day. You don't. There's plenty of them that have been in the mud, but if you don't have to have it, it's good for everybody. So, but we are racing out here tomorrow as well for the weekend. But it's been good. You know, finished up Pacific Classic Day with Accelerate kind of showing his stuff and. You know, it's nice to see when you look at a race and you go, there's no way this horse, no, who can beat this horse? And when they perform like that and you kind of say he should win by 10 and he does, that was good. And Sadler and Hieronis and continuing their wonderful year. And like I said, as you know, John's been around forever. It's always good to see him win, but close to Hieronis is one of the good guys. It's good to see when good things happen to good people. Quick story. personal story about Pacific Classic weekend, as it was. So anyway, I was down there, as you know, and just sitting up in a rare sit up in the director's room for Saturday, watching the races with a friend of mine who's a very good handicapper. And we had handicapped, you know, all night the night before, spending, you know, hours the usual, get ready for the big day. 11 races, neither one of us cashed a bet. And I'm talking about nothing. I think the only thing we were live in is when we hit the all button in a couple of sequences. And so it's kind of one of those days you question, man, this is kind of bad. I need to take a little time off. And, you know, spend all this time handicapping. So the next day, driving home, Gina and I are driving back back to L.A. in the afternoon, and I get a phone call from a buddy of mine from Texas, and he goes, "Hey, man, who do you like today in the pick five?" And I'm thinking, "Oh, geez, I forgot about the carryover." So we're driving. I pull over. I said, "Gina, you got to drive. So we got like 20 minutes to the first post." Pull out the iPad, bloop, 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 20-minute handicapping, call my buddy, put in a ticket for $300. We end up hitting the pick five. So this game is just crazy. You spend hours and hours and hours, and literally don't cash a ticket. 20-minute handicap, boom, 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 win. So, I mean, you can't give up. You got to keep plugging along. And then, you know, you end and you go, hey, what a great game. And as we know it is, but sometimes it hits you when you least expect it. But I just, believe me, big smile on our faces the rest of the day. But just kind of one of those things. I'm sure that's happened to everybody. But sometimes it happens when we don't even think about it, and got a decent payoff. And anyway, that was my little story. So
I love it. That's great.
It's like a day on the golf course. You hit that one shot. It's like, okay, I'm back. I'm not giving up the game. You know what I mean? So, but it was good. On Saturday. Saturday there's two stakes at Del Mar. The first one is the Shared Belief. Kind of a little interesting race. Of course, last year's winner of the Shared Belief Battle of Midway got him back on track and went on to win the Breeders' Cup Mile. We'll talk about him in a little bit later. But a five-pack in here. It looks like last year's trainer will have one of the contenders in here. I see Shivermy Timbers back on track, and I see him as being very tough to beat. He's got the old 2-for-2 at Del Mar, and as we've talked about, horses for courses there are good. Don't spend too much time on that race. I think that horse is pretty good. Go to the seventh race. It's the Pat O'Brien at that always interesting 7-furlong distance. A couple weeks ago, we had the Bing Crosby. I guess it was 3 weeks ago, maybe a month. Was probably the best sprint we had in California all year, numbers-wise and quality. And then we turn to this, and this race has turned up very, very, very interesting. There's, what is there, 8 in there? Four and four. Four super nice horses, Catalina Cruiser, Roy H., Ransom the Moon, and Battle of Midway. And Phil D'Amato has a couple more in there, and John Sadler has a couple more in there. We'll see how that pans out. Probably all not eight not running, but I think the big four will run. And we'll start at the rail with Catalina Cruiser, who is kind of that now horse that people are entering. When they enter races, they wonder if he's going to be in there. And here's where he shows up, going 7/8, which tends to believe that he might be looking at the mile for the Breeders' Cup situation. So he's 3-for-3, kind of exploded on the scene, won the San Diego down there, didn't beat a whole lot, but it was super impressive the way he did it. He's on the rail, not as too worried about the rail at Del Mar, going 7/8 as it could be at other places. Roy H. is in here, ran in the Bing Crosby. Looks like he's taken a kind of a similar road. Maybe he'll run here and then run with us before going back to the sprint. Of course, won the Breeders' Cup sprint last year at Del Mar. A nice horse coming back. Ransom the Moon won the Bing Crosby in a full field and kind of came out of the clouds. Not sure if the pace scenario is going to be that way. Then we get to Battle of Midway. And interesting horse. They sent him away. Decided to bring him back to training. I think it's very cool doing that. He won the Shared Belief last year, kind of set him up for this Breeders' Cup win. And, you know, I look back and you look at his running lines and you say, man, this is a nice horse. And he went off at a nice price in the Breeders' Cup, and it should have been cashed on. He was 40-1 in the Derby, should have took better advantage of that. But I want to go back to this third start just to talk about that race real quick. So that's, quote, the allowance race. That's the same race that Justify won this year. It was a couple days before or after the San Felipe, always put up an allowance race. And sure enough, he showed up, and what happened there? He runs second in the Santa Anita Derby. So maybe this allowance race is a pretty good prep for the Derby. But I just thought it was interesting that this is the same race that Justify won that set him up to get going forward. So Battle of Midway, not sure if he's ready first time out. Not sure where he's headed. He might be back looking back for a repeat for the mile as well. But good to see him come back. You know what? I'm gonna think this Catalina Crooner's the real deal, and they're gonna push the button on him and go in 7/8. He's gonna be able to do it. So we'll keep an eye on him. Sunday, the Torrey Pines, the three-year-old filly version of the Shared Belief. The Torrey Pines for three-year-old fillies going a flat mile on the dirt. And boy, this came up with a 11 race field that is pretty contentious for this late in the year to get that many three-year-old fillies together with I'll tell you what, 8 or 9 of these look like they have some talent. I will narrow it down to 13 Squared, who ran in the Oaks here, got beat by Midnight Bijou a couple times, hasn't run to meet yet, but should be contentious here for Baffert, probably be the favorite. A couple other horses to keep your eye on, Lemuna. Richard Baltus has done well with horses he's been sent from the East Coast. He's got them ready well. This filly came out from Delmont. Obviously, it was in good shape when she got here, but when it went ahead and won a nice allowance race here, and you know what? She's on the improve. She could be all right in here. And I want to mention one more horse in here on the outside, towards the outside, just grazed me. This horse is 2 for 2, albeit in cowbred conditions. But I remember mentioning this race, this horse last time, saying, you know, this is an up-and-comer, and you're going to get a decent price. You might never see that price again, and sure enough, she won at 7-2 or 3-1. Now I'm saying, well, you know what? You are going to get a little bit better price in here because it's contentious. This is a nice, nice horse. Phil D'Amato is very good at bringing them along. We're stepping up another furlong here, going a mile, and you might be able to get 5, 6, 7-1 on Just Graze Me. So that's my little price pick in there. I've always liked this filly 2 for 2 going in. So that's the California action in California. And as of course you know, there's some California horses invading for the Travers Day out there. And oddly enough, doesn't look like there's a California horse in the three-year-old races, which is really weird, right, Steve?
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, not to have a three-year-old sprinter or a race in a horse in the Travers is I think it's rather odd. But the rest of them were good. I did a quick little job there. Friends Fire, I tell you, Clint Eastwood said a man's got to know his limitations, and in this game, a man's got to know his horse's limitations, and I think Jason does. I think he's figured out what he's got here, and I think this is a real, real nice horse, and he's on fire, and, why not take a shot with him? I don't know what the odds are. Probably be 3-1 or something, but he's on a roll. In the personal ensign, I don't know. Yet Abel Tasman versus Elate. I think Abel Tasman is. I don't think it's that close between those two. I think Abel Tasman's a much better filly when she wants to be. I think this mile and eight distance hits her right in the head, and if she's ready to roll, I think she's good. Although they did run to a head last year. I think Abel Tasman's good, but this is going to be a fun race to watch with Farrell in there and this Wildcat. Very intrigues me very much. The second time starter in the country for Chad Brown. I guess anything that Chad Brown runs out there, you got to keep your eye on. But I do tell myself when I go to Saratoga, when the stakes come up, Ortiz Brothers, Ortiz Brothers, Ortiz Brothers. So how many times do you look down and you go, oh, horse pays $11, and one of those guys were on it. So I always keep my eye on them. But the Ballerina, once again, I'm looking California, Marley's Freedom. Bob Hess did a great job with this horse. You can tell they thought much of her, throwing her in the La Brea earlier in her career, and didn't run too well, got beat by Unique Bella. But Bob has her now, and she's going to be tough. Finley's Lucky Charm, I mean, how do you not like her whenever she runs 11 out of 17? Just as honest as they come. Was glad to see her get her grade one victory finally, but she is as tough as could be. Highway Star, always the New York bred from the outside, always the long shot, but I'm going California in here for sure. Marley's Freedom again. And what do we got next? The Four Go. We've got another one in here, California, City of Light, who runs a race, kind of goes away for a little bit, you forget about him, and as I was flipping the pages, I said, oh, isn't there another one? Boom, there he is, he hits you. Very versatile horse. That he's won twice at 7 furlongs. Went out to Oaklawn, 1 1/8. Drops back to 7 furlongs. I although he didn't get the 1 1/4 the first time he tried it, I think if they wanted to do it and concentrate on it, I think this horse could do that. But that's not the way they're going. This horse has got to be tough. Two grade ones already at the distance. Sit there on the outside, ready to go. Michael McCarthy's done a great job. Limousine Liberal, I don't know, from the rail there might hinder him a little bit. I noticed on the page he's a 7 furlong specialist as well, and he's really taken off this year. But once again, I'm going with the West. I gotta be a home team player with that. And then the big race, the Travers. Interesting story this morning. I was going over it, and I had to call Mike Penna for something else and was asking about it. We were going over talking about this and that, and I said, yeah. He goes, well, are you going to like for the Travers? He goes, besides picking Gronkowski, it'll run last. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, I forgot. As you know, Mike is a huge Steeler fan. And I said, wow, thanks for telling me. I said, I was actually kind of like the horse, but now that you put that in my head, I cannot pick Gronkowski because, you know, he says, I'll never sit next to you at a Steeler game again if you do. So, and I said, thank you for reminding me because I almost went there. But I know they like him. But you know what? I've heard all that you guys talk all week. I heard Steve Haskin, go, go, go. And you know what? I'm getting sucked in. Bravazo. I think it's just one of those. I think it's his time. He's been hard knocking the whole time. You know, he ran a decent race in the Derby. In a Preakness, he gutted it out. He comes back with a really good third, or did he finish third, second in the Haskell last time? And, you know, Good Magic is going to be a big favorite. I'm looking for something. I'm going to get on the DWL train and look for Bravazo and use him up and down in a few spots. But a lot of handicapping this weekend. A lot of ways to go.
Very much.
And it's great. It's good to see as you know, we kind of wind down and we're getting here. We're a week away from horses starting to come back to Santa Anita. So we're right in that transition stage. And sure, it's the same out there. People are happy to be there, but they're thinking about in a couple weeks down the road when they're going to be back home.
Well, Hammer, I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend. Off the pick five hit. Well done. Mike Welch is going to give us some final thoughts here before we wrap up. We'll talk to you next week.
To anchor the show, say hi to Mike, and I'm glad you guys are going to have some good weather to enjoy for this Travers weekend.
We deserve it. It's been a little arduous. Rick Hammerly, everybody, away they go on your Twitter. Let's stay right here, and we'll sprint to the wire. Mike Welch standing by on the heels of Rick Hammerly. Mike, good morning.
Hello.
Yep, there he is. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. Hey.
Mike, some clocking thoughts. We're obviously not going to give away the whole clocker report, but let's get your Travers ideas and impressions.
Well, look, these are good horses, and they're going to work, for the most part. They're going to work well leading up to a race like this. They wouldn't even be in here. Good Magic is trained terrific for Chad, and so is Gronkowski. They both looked excellent. I'm sure Chad couldn't be happier if you talk to him about the way these two are going. And, the question is value here for the entire race. I mean, Good Magic is going to be a short price. A little bit of a question at a mile and a quarter. You know, if he wins, it's not going to surprise anybody. But just from a value standpoint, I'm looking either at Gronkowski because he's doing as well as he is, in Catholic Boy, who couldn't be doing better either. His works have been terrific. He looked like a monster out there galloping today. I just happened to notice him coming by us this morning, and boy, did the girl have her hands full with him today. I've been a big fan, right along. You remember, right, even before the Breeders' Cup last year when he got the bad trip on the turf, but he worked as well on dirt as anybody. Worked terrific on the dirt before the Florida Derby, and fortunately had the bleeding issue, and he couldn't be looking any better on the main track now. So Catholic Boy is going to be my pick in here. I just hope he can get a good trip. I'm sure the strategy for Javier there is going to be to just sit right off of and follow Good Magic and hope he could outkick him and, maybe have the same scenario as he did with Catholic Boy and analyze it. Those last two races can outgame him to the wire. But Gronkowski, too, I think is going to be right there because he couldn't be doing any better either.
And that's interesting because Catholic Boy has not gotten much attention this morning. Who else could outrun odds that's moving the right way?
I'm guessing, too. I'm predicting Catholic Boy will not be 8-1, that he will be less than 8-1 in there. That's just my thought. I mean, Bravazo, I have not seen Bravazo. He's been on the other side. I guess he's been training well, and I suppose I guess if anyone outran their odds from what I've seen, Vino Rosso might have a shot at that 12-1, or 15, whatever he's got him at, 15, is that what, 10?
10.
Double digits. The horse always gives a good account of himself. Look, in the Belmont, he made a premature move and flattened out. The Jim Dandy was a little disappointing, I must admit that. But he's done well, and, with the right kind of a pace scenario, perhaps. But to me, I think the race is the two Chads and Catholic Boy, and the others, will need their best efforts to or a little racing luck to break that trio.
What other race on the card intrigues you the most?
Well, I was listening to Hammer, and I think the California contingent does have a strong hand in some of these races. I think City of Light might be a single in the forego. I mean, he's a two-time Grade 1 winner at 7/8. He beat Accelerate. He seems to be training extremely well, and he looks like he's probably the controlling speed if he just leaves there running at all, although, Whitey said that he doesn't have to be in front. He can rate and sit off if someone inside him wants to lead. So I do like City of Light, quite a bit in there. I know we're going to have good workout reports on Marley's Freedom also coming in for Bob. Apparently, according to my colleagues out there, told me he's been training exceptionally well. The interesting race, is the Alan Jerkins, as I wrote. The bounce theory is going to be tested a couple of times in here with Promises Fulfilled and Ferenc Fire coming off just, unbelievably impressive efforts in their last starts. Promises Fulfilled, probably going to get loose on the rail, and that's always a dangerous thing. But as Jason Service kind of pointed out, he says, I've had 7 weeks between races with Ferenc Fire to get him over the bounce, and Promises Fulfilled is coming back in 4. So if either is more apt to bounce, it would probably be Promises Fulfilled, but a little loose on the lead trip could help mitigate that factor. So, we'll see. I think one of those two should probably win. Gadu, obviously a huge question mark, and he's liable to show some early speed. Moving from the turf to the dirt in here, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Engaged did not have the best of trips when second best behind Promises Fulfilled, so you obviously have to respect him. But I'm going back to Ferenc Fire. I just thought his last race was so impressive, and I think this is what he wants to do. 7/8 or a mile, and if he gets any help up front, I just think he'll win again.
Have a turf horse a preference in the Sword Dancer?
Actually, the Sword Dancer, no, I haven't given the Sword Dancer a great look, but in the Ballston Spa, I like Proctor's Ledge. I'm going to take a shot there. I mean, it's been well documented. Obviously, Arabian Beauty did not have a great trip in the Diana when she fell short with her bid, but neither did Proctor's Ledge. Go back and watch the tape of that race. She got bounced around and blocked herself, and boy, she looked just absolutely terrific working here on the turf earlier or last week. I just thought she was sitting on a big race then, didn't get to run it, and she'll be the value in here, obviously, with Arabian Beauty going to be a very short price again. So for the price in that race, I would go with Proctor's Ledge.
Well, for those of you that did not take the full meet subscription or weekly, if you're going to pick one card to pay $10 and have a Saratoga clocking support, tomorrow's the day. And Mike, best of luck. I really appreciate it. The clock,
thank
the
you.
Report's been,
we
been
will
another
have
great
the,
summer.
The California, some California workout reports in amongst the ones from Saratoga as well.
Nice. Nice. Some help from Toby Terrell, who's having a great summer himself out at Del Mar.
Absolutely.
DRF Welsh, everybody. And, of course, earlier this morning, DRF Privman and DRF Grenick. Sprinkled throughout, liberally, America's Turf Authority since 1894. Also, Nick Tamaro, James Scully, Clocker John, double helping of Clocking Report, Ed DeRosa, and Hammer. There you go. It's Travers Weekend, and we're an hour away from a fun New York summer showcase card ahead of Saturday's terrific slate. And we wish everybody the best of luck. Safe trips for all the participants, and we will see you on TV Sunday. Seth and I, loose on the lead, and we'll talk Monday, of course. HRRN radio coverage this afternoon and tomorrow, as well as Bill and Dave on down the stretch in the morning, and Equine Forum as well before that. So lots of racing, and then Saratoga Live and NBC coverage on TV tomorrow as well. Good luck this weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America.
Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.